of reality based on what is your salary. Jobs I'm working an hourly, except for when I rhyme.
I just love that DeSean Jackson is still in the league and just running one route. He just runs.
Oh, he just goes straight.
And how many plays a game do you think he's in?
13.
Did you know DeSean Jackson was a Ram on August 31st? September 8th? Whatever. Before the season started. Before the season?
Not before I looked into, like, a week before I started to have, like, a draft. No idea.
I got to be honest. I didn't know DeSean Jackson played last year. Because he wasn't a Buck, was he? Or was he on, like, IR?
Oh, he does like to hit the good IR.
DeSean Jackson is always good for an IR trip. Him and John Ross. Like, I feel like you can't spell DeSean Jackson or John Ross without IR.
No, he's on his second stint with the Eagles last year.
Oh, my God. Well, that explains why I didn't notice him.
Well, yeah, classic is he's got 6 receptions for like $150, you know, averaging almost like 40 a clip.
One was probably 79 yards.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's still fast. Like, we should all be that fast when we're 60, guys.
In a straight line.
Yeah.
Very fast. No,
what else do you need? DeSean Jackson is not DeSean Jackson who, you know, de-jocks Jairus Byrd anymore. You know, he is run straight faster than everybody else.
Oh, I was right. The Geno side is in right now.
Oh,
that can't be good for a football team.
This feels really good as a 49ers fan watching this after.
Does it though?
My
Does
team.
It?
No. I was being sarcastic after okay, my team just fucking lost to this horrible Seahawks team. I do not feel great. No, I do not. Jimmy fucking Garoppolo didn't come out in the second half because of a calf bruise. A bruise on his calf, boys. A calf bruise.
Well, you got your wish. You got Trey Lance in the game, right?
Not my wish at all. But he did throw 2 touchdowns, so we'll see. A calf bruise.
I mean, I think they labeled it a contusion, I think.
No, that's a bruise. We learned that in high school from Coach Ka'anapu.
So you can just run around with a contusion?
A contusion is a bruise.
I can run around with a bruise. I can't run around with a contusion.
You ever had a contusion?
I have had a contusion.
So give us the difference between a bruise and a contusion.
A bruise is something where, like, oh, my arm or my leg looks like a banana, you know, sure. Like an overly ripe banana. A contusion is, I put a sweatshirt on. God damn, that shit hurts. What hurt? Oh, I touched it again. It really hurts.
Contusion.
And contusions have like rings, like a bullseye, where they get more deep colored until you get to the middle. And then the middle is clear and there's just a bump in the middle of it. That's a contusion.
And so you're saying a person couldn't tough it out and play quarterback in the NFL?
Oh, absolutely. Well, not a quarterback.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, any skill position player cannot be expected to play with a contusion.
Okay.
A lineman?
I'll take your word for it. I'll take
safety,
your word for it.
Absolutely. They get like 14 contusions a game, but a quarterback can't do it.
Can't do it. Won't
can't
do it.
Play with it.
Can't do it. Oh, man. Speaking of great 49ers memories, Jesus. So why is Russell Wilson not playing right now?
That's a good question.
His finger is pretty jacked up.
Fantastic fantasy news for me.
I think he hit a helmet and it's pointing the wrong way. He tried to play like a series or two.
So dislocated finger. That's not ideal for a quarterback.
Yes.
Well, football season just going great so far, isn't it, fellas?
Oh, buddy. I mean, let me tell you.
2-2 Chiefs. What are the Niners? 2-2.
They are 2-2. Yeah.
What are the Colts? I mean,
1-3.
Ooh,
I think they won last. They held on last week.
Are you still watching the Colts?
Yeah, I just watch Red Zone, so no.
Oh, okay, you're not a Sunday ticket guy to watch. Yeah, either am I.
I've been illegally streaming Red Zone for the first time this year. That is one of the best things in the history of Earth, period.
Are you a Chris Hansen or a Andrew Siciliano guy?
Oh, I believe it's been Hansen doing
yes.
it.
Yes.
So I like him.
Yes. Hansen's the best.
It's wonderful. It's weird because I'll load it up on my phone, like illegal streaming site on my phone. And last week I sat in bed for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, is my phone battery dying even though I charged it overnight? Oh, I guess that's going to happen, isn't it? So wonderful.
You at least watch those morning games on Red Zone.
Mm-hmm. It's great.
Niners
about to go to 2-3, by the way, because they're playing Arizona.
Oh, boy. Kyler.
He would look great in an Oakland outfield, if you ask me.
I will say that I noticed, because I've had Red Zone now for a few years. And when a player gets injured, Scott Hansen is always very serious and matter of fact about it. But I didn't realize it until last Sunday. When he announces an injury, he announces it, and then he reiterates it, and he reiterates it like any broadcast you pull up on YouTube where you're watching 9/11 and a second plane hits the second tower, and they're like, and Kyler Murray gone down with a hip contusion.
Yeah.
I repeat.
Yep.
In the 1 o'clock window in Glendale, Kyler Murray, hip contusion. Keep an eye on it. And here we go to Buffalo.
Yeah. What do they call it when you're in the witching hour?
The
right?
witching hour. Oh, I love it. Gotta love that witching hour. It's so good.
I know this has been around for over a decade, but it's just it's my first time being exposed to it. And it's just so perfect.
It's so good. It's
perfect. Whoever produces that, came up with the idea for it, executes it on a weekly basis. It's perfect. I know they had a small window. Look, I'm using Red Zone terms now. They had a small window a couple weeks ago where it went down for 5 or 10 minutes or something like that, and the world flipped out. What are we supposed to do? It's Sunday. I'm not going to talk to my family. What?
I honestly judge Red Zone people now.
By who?
Or Sunday ticket people, I mean.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
I judge Sunday ticket people now.
What are you doing?
You watch entire Carolina Panther and New York Giants games? Why?
So you're telling me
there's so much crud you don't have to watch.
You bought a huge satellite, you went up on your roof and attached it to your house so you could watch the Jets?
Yeah, I got a DirecTV, I think it's DirecTV, email in the middle of August to switch over to get Sunday ticket. I think it was $380 just for a Sunday ticket.
Right.
Damn.
And I was like, no, I'm good.
Yeah, COVID's over, boys. I can go to a bar and watch my team.
Well, I'm my team is good enough to where I can watch them probably 11 times if I wanted to. Just easy on broadcast.
Chiefs are always
TV.
Chiefs are always on. Yeah. Chiefs are the Chargers.
But you want to know what?
Yep.
Sometimes I don't even want to watch that. And just go Red Zone. It's too good. It's too good.
How
it's
have they not?
Too good. How Jesus they Christ.
College football Red Zone. Is this just ESPN?
So it's funny you say that because on SiriusXM, I think it's ESPNU or whatever, they do, granted, it's radio, it's not the same medium.
Geno
but they
Skype
do,
and Russell Wilson touchdowns right
they
now.
Do that they do their own version of the Red Zone on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, granted, like I said, it's SiriusXM, so you got to pay for it, but it's pretty good. It is pretty good. It's not the same, but it's pretty good.
I guess the one difference is I barely care about a lot of teams in the NFL only because I have fantasy players. I really don't care about a lot of college football teams.
Oh, come on. I need that. You don't care when the Citadel is in on the 17-yard line in Columbia, South Carolina against the Gamecocks. You don't care about that. Let's go to the quad box. Citadel and Mississippi State are all in the 20-yard line.
It is the witching hour. Duke and NC State going to the wire.
And KJ Costello has sprained an ankle. I repeat, in the left box, KJ Costello has sprained an ankle. And now off to Manhattan, Kansas.
We now send you to Pullman, Washington State, inside the red zone.
Well, let's not be ridiculous. They don't play until like 9 o'clock West Coast time in Pullman.
That's fair. Yeah. Yeah. Pullman's not playing in the early window.
Dang.
So
Geno Smith, first TD pass in 4 years.
Good for him. He's been Russ's backup the whole time. When you're backing up like the toughest quarterback ever. By the way, speaking of opposite ends of the spectrum, like Jimmy G not coming in with a contusion and fucking Russell Wilson playing every second of every game ever.
Hey, Russell, he was wanting to come back in the game with his fucking gnarled up finger.
Yo, I hate the Seahawks, but I would give my left nut for Russell Wilson to quarterback my NFL team. Like, Jesus. I'm so tired of watching Russell Wilson beat my team. Like, I think it's like 15 wins against the 49ers now or something. Like I post 15 of his 100 wins. It's unbelievable.
I don't know his splits. Well, the Seahawks splits Santa Clara and Seattle versus the Niners.
Sure.
I swear though, they always win in San Francisco and they always win in Glendale, but the Seahawks always give those games back up in Seattle.
Yeah. Where they're supposed to have the best home field advantage. Yeah,
and I know it's not true, but the Seahawks are always playing games that are like, hey, you want to know what? It's 13-12 with 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter. They've been completely outplayed and it's 16-12.
Well, I mean, this game's 16-14.
Yeah.
Trying to find the picture I took with the stat, how many wins Russell Wilson has against the 49ers. I know he's second all time behind like Y.A. Tittle or something like that. Was it Unitas? It might have been Unitas actually, because Tittle played for the 49ers. That wouldn't make sense. What a shit show that game was. The Seahawks had like 30 yards at halftime, and all of them came on the final drive in which they scored to tie the game. It's like San Francisco could not have dominated a half more than they dominated the first half against Seattle last week. Tied at 7 at halftime. They're like, Seattle's winning this 100%. Like Russell Wilson is going to beat the 49ers if this is what's happening. And sure enough, Jimmy didn't come out. Trey Lance threw a whole bunch of ducks for a while. Never had a chance.
So you're trying to tell me it's a good
call
idea.
Those Anthony Browns.
Yeah.
Trying to say it's a good idea to score points in the first half and not be trailing
when you're dominating a team, close. it might be nice to actually put points on the board. Yeah.
You know, like not scoring on 4th-and-1 at the end of the half, you know, things like that.
It's weird. Weird concept. By the way, your boy, I know I texted you, D Ford, 2 sacks in that game. Also, D Ford, huge line up in the neutral zone on a third down. Yes.
Of course, that's the D Ford special. Yeah, I gotta love that guy. Love that guy. Like, I think I've told you guys, but like that loss to the Patriots on that stupid offsides on a play that was an interception, Tom Brady's legacy over. Mm-hmm. That kills me way more than the Super Bowl last year. I can accept that.
Yeah,
D Ford lining up 18 inches offsides for no reason. And
line up offsides. You look down the line, like you are in a 3-point stance. How do you line up offsides?
D-Ford guy.
I get jumping offsides. I get it. Like you're being aggressive, whatever. Lining up offsides. Are you wearing contacts and like both contacts fell out? Like, what's happening?
So I feel like we've avoided it enough.
Fucking football, dude. Ugh.
We got to get to that whole game on Saturday at 12:30.
I guess.
That happened. I mean, it happens.
There were several games in the 12:30 window.
I am talking Ohio State and Rutgers.
Yeah, I'm in red zone rhetoric now. There were several games in the 12:30 window.
And we are off flipping. To Piscataway for.
Yeah. All right. Well, what do you want to talk about first? Because there's a billion things to talk about with the Stanford loss. A billion things.
So let's get bitchy first, right? And then we'll end it with some real
Which
stuff.
Part?
So the refs. That last drive.
Yes.
What were your thoughts on those three calls?
My first thought for the
the first one was Thibodeau.
The Thibodeau. Yeah, my first thought for the Thibodeau call was he didn't make contact with his head. And if you don't make contact with his head, it can't be targeting. Isn't that the whole point of the penalty? Is you go for the head and you hit the head. And if Thibodeau didn't actually hit his head, then you can't call the foul.
But see, is that targeting? Because I feel like in the Ohio State game with Sewell, they didn't call it, but in the end of the game, they reviewed a targeting because he lowered his head and hit a guy in like the ribs.
Right. And Thibodeau.
So what is targeting?
And Thibodeau went up with his hands.
Straight up.
He did go high. The rule is not the helmet. It's high. So anything above the shoulder, which he did go. But the point is, he didn't make contact. And so if he didn't make contact, like the reason the quarterback went backwards is because Dorlus hit him below the knees, which also, by the way, that could be a penalty too, but
probably the worst hit.
That's the thing that actually hurt him.
Did he not make contact with his face mask?
I didn't think so.
I mean, maybe.
See, my point was, even if he did, sure, maybe give him a 15-yard penalty, but you can't eject him from that. He didn't lower his head or anything. That's really what killed me was ejecting him there.
That's the bigger conversation. Is that penalty is an automatic ejection. And so I think
review it though now and like make a decision and say
if it's targeting, he's ejected. Like that's the rule. And
it's targeting. I hate it. I've hated it for a long time.
And I haven't come across anybody who likes it. Like I don't think anybody likes that rule at this point in college football, period. The ejection part of it. Like surely and you know there are different versions of that penalty. So if we're talking about a guy who like launches himself, like trying to spear the dude's head, like you can review it, you can make a decision, you can eject him. But the automatic ejection.
Pretty tough.
It's tough. And so then what was the next one?
Next one was Dorlus.
Next one was rough in the passer with Dorlus, where again, a situation where he doesn't really make contact. Like he goes up high. I get it. If you're going up high,
he just comes down and like
he had his arms up to try to hit the ball and then comes down and barely makes contact with the guy. And so I understand that call just because he goes high, like both. Calls,
I hate that.
They're looking at. It's stupid. Agreed. They are bad calls. I agree with you, but I understand why those calls were made. The Thibodeau one made less sense to me simply because he didn't really make contact.
Yes. I will agree with that. If you want to call the doorless one,
I get it
because you're like, oh, spirit of the rule. Even though the quarterback did not even flinch at all.
Didn't move.
He got touched and it was like looking at the pass downfield. Okay. Okay.
Well, the big one, what was Thibodeau's third down?
Ooh, that I don't
know. Yes, it was.
Dorlus, I think, was for, you know, it was an early
down. Yeah, it was an early down.
But I feel like Thibodeau was a third down, which was.
That was a game-changing call. Game-changing call. And then you have the actual game-changing call, the one that actually gave Stanford the game, which is the holding in the end zone, which I've seen like pundits who have no skin in the game whatsoever across the country just being like, that is the worst call.
Yeah,
and it's going to cost the Pac-12 a college football playoff spot, and that play right there is going to not only cost the Oregon, it's going to cost the conference, and it's terrible. It's a bad hold call to begin with, and it's a really bad call when you look at the way the rest of the game had gone. And the fucking play before it had gone. Like, you're gonna throw a flag on that when honestly the offensive player made more contact than Wright did. Like, Wright was the one who got thrown aside. Like, and so then you call the hold on Wright. Man, like, I'm not one of those guys who is, you know, like, there are terrible calls, especially when you're playing in the Pac-12. I get it. I'm not one of those guys who's like, yeah, blame the refs for the game. The whole loss is on the refs, blah, 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 blah. That one, when it's the last play of the game.
Game's over. Game's over. Yeah,
when the game is over and you make that call and it extends the game with a non-timed down where they score and send it to overtime, that's the refs. It fucking is. It's a terrible call, and it costs Oregon the game in an undefeated season. Probably like, a shot at the playoff.
Like, I was talking to a buddy who was a Wazoo grad, and he texted me right away, and he was like, well, they called it on that play, and they would have called it on the next play if the guy didn't catch it, and they would have called it on the next play, and they would have really just kept calling it until the game was over.
The jump ball, you mean?
The jump ball. Like, yeah. And that's just total. They hadn't called it the entire. And granted, he was purposely exaggerating a little, his point was they threw a flag for no reason.
No, they were fishing
the entire game.
That play is Stanford fishing for penalty flags.
And so I'll break this down into like two little things. My range for rewarding a goal line fade is really low because you're just throwing up a shit ball and hoping for luck. That's just what you're doing. You're almost fishing for a flag more than you are the catch. Okay. And Stanford's receivers, they're like, oh, we're all 6'5" and physical. Oh, but when a six foot flat guy touches you on the back, it's a flat. Like, there's got to be, and that this isn't just this year. It's not even just a Stanford Oregon thing. It's a Stanford thing. They have exploited a market inefficiency now for like 10 years.
No, a decade.
Yeah. And I'm frankly like, oh, I'm frankly over. I know that sounds like super dumb, but it's absolute garbage. Like, before we get back, like the NBA, they're now calling that play where a guy shoots a three and jumps into someone, cool. Right? So they have corrected that James Harden, Lillard, Steph Curry market inefficiency where they were drawing that foul for 2 years. And they said enough. The Pac-12 has got to say enough on that Stanford thing.
I mean, all you have to do is throw some offensive PI flags there.
Yeah, just a couple, right? And they never do.
Never once. Yep.
So when they got down there, you knew that's what was going to happen, right?
Oh, we were texting each other.
Yeah.
I literally said jump ball, like book it. And sure enough, like three times.
I just have a hard time rewarding that one, period. But on the last play of the game, when you haven't called it like that the entire game, no, that's ref show stuff. And I know I sound like a loser fan saying that. That's ref ball. I don't care what anyone says. Like you said earlier, I probably saw the same stuff from Dennis Dodd, Jorge Sedano, Ryan Russillo, like just random guys who have no skin in the game. Chris Felica. And they're like, that call sucked. That was
terrible. Yeah.
Terrible.
I feel way more secure in saying all of these things simply because of that. Yes. Because a bunch of people who are not invested whatsoever agree that it was terrible. It's going to cost Oregon. And a lot of things from that game are going to cost Oregon.
Well,
and are going right. to make Oregon there, season
there's deeper
a lot
problems
harder.
For the yeah. Ducks than that. But
I was going to say, what needed to transpire to even get to that point? It shouldn't even happened.
Shouldn't have happened.
But so many different layers of things that had to happen to get to even a jump ball penalty to force overtime.
So let's go the most recent thing that happened was Oregon's drive with under 2 minutes, where you have the
Oregon had a 99.9% chance of winning per ESPN's FBI with 2 minutes left. Yep. Just throwing that out.
And they're driving down. They're moving the ball at will. And then two straight penalties. Two straight false start penalties. George Moore, for some reason, decides to move. And then the other one was Williams, I think. Dante Williams. Two false starts. And then they decide to pass it. And they have Brown roll to the short side and throw it to the short side. Just a terrible throw. Incomplete. Stops the clock.
I will say...
Yeah.
On that pass, I think it was Jeff Schwartz, because clearly he knows someone in the U of O AD, because on Sundays he's posting all 22 footage of Oregon games.
Right.
Micah Pittman, I think it was Pittman. Yeah, no, it was Pittman. Pittman was wide open. Granted, it's only like an 8 yard game, but the clock keeps going.
Yeah.
Need to complete it.
Which. Yes. I mean, I before that, when it was fourth and one, I was saying, go for it. If you can end the game, you end the game. Gas, you know, foot on the gas, you know, let's go. You got to kill the game. That is my thing. Be aggressive, not conservative. On second and 19 or whatever it was, man, you got to just run it at that point, because you're not. You don't have a quarterback who is going to reasonably get a big enough chunk play to where third down is an attainable first down, if that makes sense.
The only pass play you have is a quick screen or a dump off to a running back.
Right.
The pass play has to be safe and short. And if the pass play is going to be safe and short, you might as well run the ball.
Exactly.
Because you've run the ball up their ass the entire game. So continue to do that.
Yeah, like what I'm trying to say is, maybe I sound like a hypocrite or whatever, but in that one, you gotta four downs. We're punting.
You have to.
We got to play the math here.
Stanford calls their last timeout. They're under a minute when they get the ball with no timeouts. The game is over. The game is over.
Yeah, it's bad. Like that 2018 game against Stanford. To this day, I will say you don't punt it. You still run it. If CJ doesn't fumble, he goes down, they win the game. Okay. I will defend that one forever. This one, nah, I can't. I that second down play was bad. It was bad. It was just bad.
How much of a factor is Moorhead not there?
I mean, of course that is a huge factor.
I never even found out who was calling plays.
Mastro.
Yeah. Mastro?
Yeah. Which, I mean, you know, I mean, yeah, we don't have to get to, you know, it's exactly. His first time calling plays and he did it on like, you know, 4 hours notice.
Yeah.
So I don't want to bang on him, but dude.
Are we hearing? Yeah. By the way, running backs coach, give the ball to the running backs.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So Moorhead, is he still in the hospital?
No, he's back in town, they said.
Okay. He didn't make the trip, I heard.
No, he did.
Oh, he did. Okay.
Yes, and he had surgery down there. Yeah.
It's a hell of a place to have a condition, whatever it is.
Stanford, yeah.
Go to Stanford? Yeah. If you're going to have something.
If you're going to get that GI tract infected, may as well be at Stanford Medical.
Was in Palo Alto, son.
Was Andy Reid's thing when they were in San Diego, where he left the game with... Let's see. I can't remember if it was that Charger game or if it was the week before.
I think it was the week before.
Did they fly? No, it was
the Charger game. Yeah. It was a Charger game.
Yeah. Just get him up there. He's close enough. He's like, all right, I'm gonna feel a little tightness here. Let's get me up there and check things out.
So are you saying Andy Reid and Joe Moorhead are in like the cafeteria at Stanford Medical Center?
Yeah.
Just eating their little cup of fruit.
Ugh.
Gross. Talking ball. Oh man, fucking, you know, the amount of shit we talked about CJ Verdell and the fucking season he was having and the game he was having, that dude ran his ass off against Stanford. Like he was I mean, so Dye ended up with more yards, like whatever. Like CJ Verdell was running his ass off against Stanford. It was one of those deals where like you look back at LaMichael and remember when LaMichael was LaMichael, 5 yards every play. Every single play. Like you could not tackle him behind the line of scrimmage. CJ Verdell was like that. He was lowering his shoulders. He was making guys miss at the line of scrimmage. He was getting 4 or 5 yards every single play. And sometimes against teams like that, that's what you need. And he was fucking killing it. And then he goes down, second effort. I think he got a first down on the run too. And then he ends up like, I don't know, was it broken ankle? Is that what we're...
It looked like a broken ankle to me.
Yeah.
He's out for the year, so I mean...
Well, how about that Stanford guy's ankle that they like hand in on for like 10 seconds and just like held it?
So when that play happened, I looked at it and I watched, you know, the pile around him and I go, wow, that dude's out loud. I go, wow, he's lucky his leg didn't explode.
And it did, yeah.
And then everyone moves out of the pile like, oh, well, his lower leg did, in fact, explode.
To the credit of like the production team too, it took me a second. Like I was watching and I was like, oh, why is he still laying on? Oh shit.
Yeah. I don't know if they
I
don't know if they had a weird angle on it at first and then like panned around. Cause at first he just kind of like holding his leg.
I'm like, why is he making that face? Oh no. Oh boy. Yeah. But you know, now, so we learned today, CJ Verdell's done for the season and Bennett Williams is done for the season too, which we knew. It's a broken fibula, I think, with Williams.
I thought it was his foot.
I think it's a broken leg.
Yeah, yeah, I believe I saw fibula today.
Was that going through walkthroughs?
Yes, like this just shows the season is over, guys. You're listening to this.
Yep.
Hey, listen. God bless you all. The season is over. It's going to be a disappointing one. And the injuries are a big part of it.
Yep.
Because when in a span of like 12 hours, you have a guy in sweatpants in a walkthrough break his leg. And then an offensive coordinator with like stomach cancer. That's a joke. He doesn't have stomach cancer. But you know what I'm saying? It ain't meant to be.
Your starting running back breaks his ankle. There was a word floating around.
At least that was on a field.
Yeah.
There's a word Moorhead's floating around.
Moorhead's stomach is exploding because he's gutting dip. Like.
Yeah. That's true. There's a word floating around on Twitter as the game was going on very early. I forget who said it, but they said, this is a cursed game. That was a cursed game. Oregon plays games against Stanford that are cursed games. They've played games against like Washington State in the past that were remember Jeremiah Johnson and
Colvin.
They both had 07. Like yeah it was ACL and ankle in the same game.
Yep. Cursed. The only difference there was that Oregon dropped like 60 points.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because the quarterback who eventually tore his ACL on national TV was still playing.
Pretty good. Yep.
Speaking of quarterbacks.
Wait, we still got to jump back. So we're going timeline reverse. So we jump to end of the first half. Is that the next?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead. Are you
talking about that read on fourth down?
I guess you call it a read. I don't know if I would call it a read.
That play. So I mean, we've beat this one to death. I thought Brown would get pulled because they lost to Ohio State. They played Stony Brook. We've gotten over it. That play right there is when I went, oh, he cannot be the quarterback going forward because he has now missed his third within the 5 yard line read on a pitch, just blatantly just keeping where the pitch is so open, the guy could get a boner and boing, boing, boing into the end zone. And he just,
refuses.
I think he just, and I've kind of noticed it too a little bit. Granted, I'm a dummy. I'm not saying I'm an expert, but on like RPOE type stuff. And granted, we don't know exactly what's an RPO and what's not, but you can kind of just see it. That dude just pre-reads stuff. When he claps his hands, he knows exactly what he's doing. There's no read.
And the worst part about the Stanford game is, like I said earlier, the running backs were just gouging yards every rushing attempt.
Yeah, and Stanford's defense their running defense is bad. They were doing exactly what they should do. Yeah.
I don't know if this is a lack of Moorhead. If Moorhead, you know, sees the first terrible read by him, and he goes, "All right, we're just calling a straight running play."
It's a good call.
No, I don't think so.
That was a good play call. He just needs to pitch the fucking ball, dude. Not be selfish.
I think Mario kind of mentioned in the post game that was a read.
Mario mentioned it in the halftime interview with Joe.
That's what I'm thinking of. Yep.
Pitch the ball. We walk into the end zone.
Yes.
Like you just need to make the play. And by the way, Brown after the game, he's like, "Excuse my language, but I played like shit." How many fucking times are we going to hear that? Like, he has said that himself after three games this year. Mario has said that after every game this year. Your quarterback's kind of struggling. He's under 50% passing. He's not making good decisions at the goal line. Are you thinking about making a decision or something? Yeah, well, you know, you need a blah, 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 fucking blah. I'm over it. I'm over it, man. Like, well, I think most of us are over it. Like, how many games are you going to need to see him throw under 50% before you're going to make a move, dude? Like, you're a top 10 team in the country. Your quarterback can't throw 40% on passes. It can't happen.
He cannot physically throw a ball past 15 yards. That's the other thing is, you know, he misses a lot of, you know, 8-yard quick slants and outs and things like that. How many times did he throw a ball over 15 yards in that game?
Can I just throw out a stat? Do you guys know who Drake London is?
Wide receiver for USC?
Yes, and he's going to win the Blitnikoff injury aside.
He's very good.
He has 49 catches this year. Anthony Brown has 62 completions. And Drake London's team fired their head coach. I'm just saying, this cannot be the best option behind center. It just cannot.
A quarterback position needs to be able to throw the football first and foremost.
Just even try.
Just try. All right.
Give
the appearance you can throw the ball downfield. Just the appearance. Get Deshaun Jackson out there running, you know, streaks every now and then.
Morgan has two receivers with 100 yards plus on the year, and they both have less than 120 yards on the year. And one of them had like a 70-yard screen pass.
Like, other teams must just watch film of those deep attempts that Brown does and just laugh their asses off. Or maybe not laugh their asses off, but like,
they're not scared.
Game plan with that in mind, that he cannot beat you deep.
Define deep attempts.
10 yards over.
No, they have attempted deep balls this year. Like, they have attempted, like, fade routes, like, in the middle of the field, trying to get big yards, and he misses every single time. And so
I don't think he attempted, really, against Stanford.
Not against Stanford, no. I think Mastro saw something Moorhead hasn't, that Brown is incapable. The Mastro isn't capable of making the decision to bench Brown, but he knows what Brown is capable of. And he has seen, it's like, look, if Oregon's going to beat Stanford, it's going to be running the football because this dude can't do it.
Is this bye week saving Anthony Brown? Because if the Ducks played this weekend, he probably would have had to bench him, right? But with the bye week, it kind of, you know, quells the storm a little bit.
Maybe the opposite, because now is sort of the perfect time, isn't it? You have extra time for your freshman to prepare. So they're not going to tell us at all that they've made a move before they do it or after they do it. So we'll find out when they play on Friday. But that was kind of the perfect time. You're going to give the young kid 2 weeks to work with the ones without having to throw him out there in a game.
I mean, you lose Burdell too. You're going to be going to some young running backs too. And I mean, you're playing Cal. It seems kind of set up for one of the freshmen to start. Because this is...
At least in platoon, it's got...
Yeah.
It has got to, at minimum, be a platoon that you do out of respect for the 14th year senior. But really, you're like, well, if the freshman is good, he's the guy.
Right.
So who do they play after that? Do you guys have the schedule in front of you?
Fuck that, man. You know, if you're going to make the move, make the move.
But they're not. Like, yeah. I mean, you know what I mean?
They got UCLA.
We're speaking in hypothetical. So if they're going to make the move, make the move.
Has Mario ever done something that decisive?
No.
So, I mean,
this looks just like the Blazers. It's like something's got to change. You got to do something, right? I mean, this is 4 weeks of extremely subpar quarterbacking going on.
Yeah. The argument that, hey, we're undefeated, so he's leading us to undefeated. That argument's out the window now.
Yep.
That's the only argument you had.
No,
it doesn't exist anymore.
In fairness to Anthony Brown, he bought himself a few weeks after winning in Columbus. He did.
It's the one good game he's played this year.
I know. I'm not.
And it was really average.
He directed the offense pretty well. He's a bad thrower, but
yeah.
But that leash has been shortened considerably. Like there should only be like two or three chain links left on that leash. I mean,
is there a chance these young quarterbacks are not good?
Absolutely.
We've seen the arm strength at least. We've seen some glimpses. I mean,
Thompson had like two touchdown passes in three drives or something against Stony Brook.
But my thing is though, like, in the last, 10 years, it's a little less than 10 years, there's been some clamoring for Mariota, Brian Bennett, and Justin Herbert. And Mariota showed in his spring game that arm talent and the running jumped off the page.
Thanks to Avery Patterson.
Than Bennett. Like, so whatever.
Yes.
Herbert, I'm not going to say it was the same thing, but when he came in against, I think it was Wazoo up there for Prukop, the game was shit. He didn't play well, but you were like, oh, that guy's big and that guy throws it real hard. Let's give him a shot. I didn't see anything from Ty Thompson in that Stony Brook game where I was like, well, he has to get a shot. Like, Mariota had to get the shot. He was the favorite, you know.
Yeah.
But Herbert had to get that shot, and he was a sacrificial lamb against a Washington team that made the playoff. But you knew even in that game, which was 70-21, you saw him and you were like, that guy is not the problem.
Yeah.
A lot of other problems, but that guy is not the problem.
But you look
I haven't Anthony, seen that but, from Ty Thompson.
But you look at Anthony Brown and you see that is a problem.
That is the other argument. That is a major problem.
Even if it's a sideways move with one of the young kids, you have to do it though. Anyway, I think
that's the thing too. It's like, even if it blows up in your face, you have to try it at this point. Just because of the way the season has gone so far, you're coming off of a loss. Your quarterback is under 50%. Like, in every game he's played, he can't hit the deep ball. You need to try at this point because the season is very close to being middle of the road Pac-12. Very close.
If you give him one more loss, I mean, they're still in it right now. One loss, you know, you could argument's sake, still say, hey,
they are 100% going to lose another game at least this season. 100%.
Does it go till that? Because two losses, all right, you know, playoffs for sure done, Rose Bowl probably done, you know. And then you say, all right, we're going to have one of these young kids be the quarterback next year. Let's get him out there early now and at least see what we're working with in some live games. I mean,
well, the Beavs already own the North, so that's out.
Oh, my God. I don't know how many articles from the Oregonian I've seen this week where they're like, at 2-0, the Oregon State Beavers are in sole possession of the North.
So let them have it. Let them have it.
I mean, it is factual, but
yeah,
are we really doing that?
Let them have it. Be happy for your Beaver fan friends. Like, let them have it for a little while. It's not going to be there very long. Like, it's okay.
just saying. I feel like there's a little more adulation from beating a now 2-3 Washington team by Oregon State than there was when Oregon walked in the horseshoe. And
oh, I'm sorry. Is Washington a big win all of a sudden? Is
apparently that so. I mean, can't relate over here, but apparently so. Beating USC in Washington. Okay.
It's better than not beating USC in Washington.
True. That is true.
Oregon just lost to a really bad Stanford team. So Stanford, by the way, let's not overstate how bad Stanford is. Stanford's not good. Like, they are not good at football.
I am not willing to say that.
Whew, their quarterback is rough. Like,
he's like, I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
You like Stanford? Him?
It's Stanford. Like, if Stanford goes 9-3, are you going to be shocked?
Kinda, but also the rest of the Pac-12 sucks. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Stanford's also a 2-touchdown underdog this week,
which is incredible. They're 100% covering that. Yeah.
So clearly that Oregon win didn't really bump the, you know, the lines makers.
But see, my thing with Stanford is they do this thing like every couple of years. David Shaw does this thing where in the opener or in the second game, whether it's at UCF or in Dallas versus Kansas State, he starts the old quarterback. And everyone's like, yeah, that's the reason why he hasn't played for 4 years. And then they throw in some other guy who's not great, but is going to complete like 68% of his passes. And it's just annoying enough to where they're gonna beat USC, they're gonna knock off Oregon, and you wanna know what? Fuck it. They're gonna beat UW. Like, it's just, they'll lose a dumb game or two going forward. But Stanford is just annoying enough to where once they won that game, I was like, oh, these guys, they're gonna be a pain in the ass.
What was that, week one where they had like 100 yards of offense?
Yes, because they started West.
Yeah.
Can you ever start a quarterback named Jack West?
No. Only Stanford.
No, it just doesn't. I mean, it is a very Stanford name. Now
yes, it is. That's what I was thinking. Shall we?
I thought he would be a tight end, though. That's a tight end name.
Do we have anything else to talk
about? Stanford.
Do we have anything else to talk about with the Ducks Stanford game? Anything else before we move on to bets? So. I mean, it was kind of a nice segue by Yuski. So.
Right? I tried.
Yeah.
I tried.
Let's do bets.
All right. So coming off that great...
Or lines, because we don't call them bets.
Lines everywhere, lines. We're doing lines and we're picking lines.
We don't endorse
listen to us.
Bets until FanDuel sponsors us. So these are just lines. All right, so...
betting lines.
Last week, we kind of a hodgepodge. We all hodgepodged it and all came out with 4 points.
I got my star pick though, right?
You did. SC King got his at Wazoo too,
and I got the Stanford beating Oregon.
Yep, you're the only one.
Feel great about that. Feel great.
All right. Well, speaking of Stanford, like I just said, Stanford at ASU, 13.5 point.
Oh, give me the Cardinals to cover. Absolutely.
So Arizona State's at 13.5 point
favorite. Yes,
that's crazy. Stanford, yes.
Stanford!
Good, I am taking ASU. And this wasn't even just because you guys went Stanford.
No, you're chasing. You are chasing. I think
Stanford's bad.
Stanford is bad.
So is ASU. Right.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Right, that was literally my train of thought. Stanford sucks. Arizona State sucks more.
Welcome to the Pac-12, folks.
Yep.
All right, here's the biggest trap line of the week. Oregon State at Washington State. Oregon State only 3.5 point favorite.
Ooh. Sneaky. Vegas knows everything. I got the Beavs, man.
I think I got the Cougs. I think I got a little look ahead, come down, you know?
Like I said, it's a trap. It's just reeks of trap game.
We got to get a sounder for our trap game of the week. Quavo. Migos sound.
And I'm falling for the trap.
Loose.
I'll throw that in post right now. My whole hood trap. 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 Trap.
Trap. Yeah. So I'm falling for the trap, and I'm star picking the Beavs.
Oh!
I'm going against the trap. So, all right. God, another just so many brutal games. Utah at SC 3.5-point favorite.
SC star pick, lock it up. They win by 17. Fight on.
Utah definitely wins that game. I got Utah.
Utah just had a player who was murdered. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right.
That's going to be a factor.
I guess I'm going with the team that did not get a player murdered. So I guess I'm with USC.
Murder.
It's murder.
All right. And now this is where I drop in murder was the case.
Yes.
Right. Murdering.
It's, oh, no.
Little Ja Rule sounder.
Yeah, yeah. Some Irv Gotti.
Yep. No. Oh, my God.
All right. Then we got
What's my name?
You know what? I might just cut that whole part out. Just...
All right.
Well, Shanti.
Why are we joking about this? No more.
Good point. That's a good point.
Next game.
It's not serious. Yeah. This... Sorry.
Next game. Kings Bruins at Arizona. 16.5-point favorite Bruins.
Oof.
I got Bruins.
I think I got Arizona. I hate to say it.
Fake.
No. Bruins.
Oh, switching it up.
Yeah, I'm switching it up. I chickened out. I'm chickening out.
Mm-hmm.
God, now I really want to switch and chase.
God, but Arizona's the biggest chase ever.
But I'm sticking with, I wrote down UCLA first, so I'm sticking with that. And then I threw in two games this week because it's kind of a light Pac-12 schedule. First one, we got Oklahoma at Texas. Oklahoma 10.5-point favorite against Sark in the Longhorns.
Oklahoma. Do you guys call it the Red River Rivalry or the Red River Shootout still?
I don't Neither. Refer to it. Yeah, I'm whiskey. I don't talk about this game.
So what do you guys call the Florida-Georgia game?
I would call it the Red River Shootout. If I were to talk about
this
game.
I would say shootout too if I wanted to.
All right.
Because that's what it's called.
All right, I'm taking Texas in the points. Oklahoma's not great. So
didn't Texas just put up like 80? Like, didn't they just put up like 80 points on somebody?
Maybe. I don't know.
I got Texas.
I saw they lost to Arkansas, so I stopped.
I just like right. Spencer Rattler's a turd, so I just I can't bet for him.
But you want to know what? He's a little snake in the toilet. He'll bite you. He'll get you.
He'll nip
you. Not expecting it.
Yep. Yep.
Thanks.
All right. Last game, we got the big top five matchup, Penn State at Iowa. Iowa, 1.5 favorite.
Penn State.
Sure. Penn State.
Oof.
What's the over-under for this? Like 12?
I'm going to say it's 38.5.
41 right now.
Give me Penn State.
I guess.
Sean Clifford will throw for 172 yards, and that'll be like dynamic on that field.
I got Iowa winning 13-10.
Nice.
That's the line.
Wait, what was your star this week, Ski?
Mine was the Beavs. Trap game. Yeah.
Star game. Trap game.
I didn't lose game. I didn't pick mine. Well, I don't like having a star did, game for any of these. I'll pick the Beavs. I pick the Beavs. Beavs are my star game.
Oof.
Yeah. Yeah.
Falling for the trap too.
Yeah. Run it up their ass, Beavs. Keep it going.
Listen. My star game is a team at home against a team with the second player who died in like 8 months.
Yeah.
I'm liking my chances here. I'm just saying. I know that's cold. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be the old, I'm gonna be the only one courageous enough to say.
Yeah, that's what it is. Courage.
I'm picking the team without murdered players.
Are we going back to our like right wing TV ways here?
Oh, speaking
I'm the only one with courage enough to say it.
Speaking of right wing, have you guys watched that new Dave Chappelle special?
I haven't.
I've not seen it yet, but I saw Whitlock like really liked it, so that's not a good sign for old Dave.
I watched like 15 minutes of it.
So was he doing a lot of devil's advocate work?
This one? Did you watch his last special?
I think so.
Did you watch the one before that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Well,
I can't really differentiate.
I think it's the same one. Yeah, he thinks gay people are icky and trans people shouldn't have rights. And until it's just, I don't know. If you like it, you like it. I'm not going to judge. I'm not going to be the one who says he's like a transphobic person, but he has his blind spots and he keeps doubling down on them. That's all I'll say.
He's been living in rural Ohio a little too long.
I don't know. I just think he's boring now. That's my take. If you like him, you like him. That's fine.
That's valid.
He's got such a weird that Iowa or Ohio thing is such a weird situation where he's in this like gated community with a bunch of white people and he brings in famous people from outside. Like literally they just do like private shows for him and his friends and like the, you know, a couple hundred people in the town. That's fucking weird, dude. Like
when you're rich, you do
you can
like
do it. I understand. Yeah. If you can do it, but that's weird. There's no way around that. That's weird behavior.
It was COVID times that all the clubs are closed. You kind of couldn't do shit for a year.
I guess so. Yeah. Anyway, it feels weird that we're suddenly in a world where we're going at Chappelle.
It's bizarre because, you know, there was a time not long ago where it was pretty universal that he was a comedic genius.
The most loved comedian. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just saying I think he does the same special over and over.
God, how do you think Netflix feels?
Oh, but he did wrap up all of his stuff about how trans people are weird by saying he has a trans friend. So
he got the cosign.
Yes. Yeah. I'm black friend,
right? That's the...
Yeah. And from what I've read...
The Mel Brooks cosign for getting to write the N-word so much. He got Richard Pryor to write the Mongo parts. That works. Yeah.
My favorite part about the special is people being like, listen, you don't get the genius of his art. He has spent 2 years being homophobic as a way to wrap this one up and tell you no, he's not in your face. Okay. All right.
Yeah, the long con. I guess we'll
not
wait
that
for,
deep.
Yeah,
I'm
we'll wait
deep.
For that to pay off, I guess. Uh-huh. Yes. All right, let's get to our list. So our list this week coming off of that Oregon game against Stanford, right? Is top three yard passes by Anthony Brown longer than 10 yards.
What is your favorite Anthony Brown pass against Stanford that traveled longer than 10 yards in the air? Ski. Yeah. Alex. Me. Ski. Number two. Braga. My number two. And your number one favorite, Alex, Anthony Brown pass that traveled 10 yards in the air against Stanford. Ski, number one.
My number one is...
Yeah.
Your number
cool
one?
List. All right. Yeah, what's cool your number list. One? Oh, I skipped over yours. What's your number one?
My number one actually was a 9-yard pass in the air that Devin Williams ran 2 yards to make it 11. So it was a 9-yard pass. It went for 11. Never forget.
Hashtag. So that technically counts.
I mean, it wasn't, you know, close enough.
This is where we're at, guys.
Yeah,
time to make a change. Yo, we got to be making some changes. All right, our real top three list this week. Did you come up with this, Key?
Yeah, since Ducks are on the bye.
Yep,
we're doing our top three buys.
Yes, sir.
Any kind of buy, your choice of buy. You can be buy curious. I don't know, but whatever you want.
Whatever
we
you
are not judging here. We are not Dave Chappelle.
Never, never.
I wish I was as rich as him.
Yeah. Yes.
Maybe just like a fraction.
Like, give me $1,000.
Give me 500. I'll have a really good weekend, Dave.
Yeah, man. Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
I think the gays are weird too. Am I right?
Am I right?
All right.
All right. Who wants to start this one? I'll start.
Go for it.
My number three, body by Jake. Man, whatever happened to those? Like, so it was 90s, early 2000s was like the sweet spot for celebrity workout people.
And Tybo.
Billy Blanks.
Billy Blanks.
That, yeah. Like, Jillian Michaels.
Was it, who was the blonde chick from Three's Company?
Suzanne Summers.
Yeah, she had, was it the ab cruncher?
Remember Jane Fonda? Jane Fonda had the workouts?
Whatever the thigh thing was. You, like, stick between your thighs. And
Thigh master.
Gosh, just making so much money.
That's not a thing anymore. Like, all the, I mean, people can just turn on YouTube and watch workouts. It can be, like, just random people at this point. It doesn't really matter. So, celebrity workout people, like, not a thing.
Well, Peloton people.
Yeah.
Yeah, but do they have celebrity workout people who do their things?
In their little...
In their world.
In their world, yeah. They're oh my gosh, it's Michaela. It's Michaela today. Oh, everyone, get on at 9 a.m. It's Michaela.
Get on your bike. Get on your bike. Who's the? I'm trying to think of like the last one. I think Jillian Michaels like still does it, right? What about that the hip hop abs guy?
Billy Blanks?
No, that wasn't Billy Blanks. He was Tybo.
Oh, he was Tybo.
What was the hip hop abs guy? That dude, he'd wear like the huge shorts and the cutoff shirt. Like, that was so weird. Hip hop abs? What? Who buys that?
You got to pander to white suburban America. It is what it is.
Oh, it's not for black people.
Oh, absolutely not.
Nope.
Wow.
Left step, right step. Punch.
All right. I guess I'll go. My number three is Laker great Andrew Bynum.
Well, that is a loose use of the word great. Oh, man.
Made a lot of money from him.
There's something to that. If you can fleece a team into paying you a whole bunch of money for a few years.
I don't know if his name was in that list of players that like fleeced the NBA, like,
right,
out of millions of dollars.
The fake medical claims.
Yeah.
Wow.
I forget which player it was, but one of his invoices was 8 root canals at once.
Yeah.
I don't even think a dentist, the most money hungry dentist, is not giving you 8 root canals at one time.
They won't do that.
They will not do that. Yeah.
Won't do it. Can't do it. Too many root canals. I want fillings.
I want fluoride. All right. My number three buy is Saved by the Bell.
Yeah. Solid choice.
Is when, you know, like when you wake up in the morning and your alarm gives off without warning. I don't think I'll ever make it on time. By the time I grab my books and I give myself a look, I'm at the corner just in time to see the bus drive by.
Bus fly by.
It's all right, because I'm in the mail.
Okay. Ski's not interested in that. Whatsoever. Is it my two?
Guys, at least
you are two.
My two. My two is it's actually football. It's a bye week before conference play, like they should be. You play your bullshit non-con games, and you have a bye week, get ready for conference play, and you don't play a team like Arizona or Stanford.
I think Arizona might have counted as a bye week this year. We just Mario just didn't treat it as one.
Didn't treat it like a bye week.
No, we didn't.
Nope.
Nope.
Moving on.
All right. My number two is the blockbuster song Bye 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 by NSYNC.
Bye 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 bye.
I don't want to make a rule for you. Just another player in the game for two.
I'd sound crazy, but it ain't no lie. Hey, you got to do the dance. It's like the sideways. It's the sideways arm. The chicken flap.
Going like the sprinkler the almost. Almost.
Yeah,
like
yeah. Kinda.
My weird, number two bye.
Is it weird
my
that I remember two, that dance?
Absolutely not. So no. Good. I don't want to be a fool in this game for two.
So I'm leaving you. Bye-bye. So solid.
My number two buy is employee owned. It is Bi-Mart.
Yeah.
Shout out to Mike Barrett. And warm 30 packs of Milwaukee's ice.
They're in the news right now. Did you hear what they're doing? Getting rid of their pharmacies?
Really?
They are. Yeah.
It's like a weird business move.
You think that's where most of their money comes from is pharmacies.
You would.
Apparently not.
Huh.
Yeah. I have a buddy who used to get his prescriptions there. He has to go to Fred Meyer now.
Wait, so you're saying it's not from like the $100 leather chairs they have, or you know, any assortment of smokers and grills?
The random gardening equipment, yeah. Random, like not stuff that people actually want to buy. You can get like garden spikes there.
Get anything you want.
Anything you want. Yep.
Why it's the best store around?
You can buy dishes there. I know that's a thing. And then. I'm trying to think of the name of the clothes you can buy there. I can't remember. Anyway. Whose turn is it?
King.
For my number one?
Are we at number one?
Have you done your two?
Yeah, mine was Bi-Mart.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. You were just Bi-Mart.
You literally just did it. So I'm at my number one then, right?
Go for it, yeah.
Have you done two?
I have done two.
I can't fucking remember.
I've done two.
Jesus. Okay, my number one is by Felicia. Okay, done.
Oh, man.
Is that also your number one?
Yes.
Okay.
I have by Felicia written down as well, but luckily I have a fourth. So I'm going Indians legend Carlos Baerga.
Baerga. Good call.
Cleveland Guardians legend Carlos Baerga. That was a microaggression of privilege. I just want to check you there, white man.
Honestly, like, do you even like think before you talk?
I mean,
listen back to the episode and control yourself from now on. Okay,
that was so uncalled for and triggering. I'm literally shaking.
I'm livid. I'm livid.
I just wrote a letter to my congressman. My congressperson, excuse me.
Yes, jeez.
Yes, please.
Why are we doing this podcast? Why am I sitting here with you savages? Oh, shit.
My number one.
I'm going to go get my.
Bi is hat. Binary people.
Oh, God. All right, let's do some bi trivia. How about that?
Oh boy, this could be trouble.
How about that? So there's lots of different ways that the word bi is used in our language. It can mean a lot of different things. And so I came up with 8 questions because this was difficult. All right. Who wants to start? Ski coming off a win.
Coming off the W.
Yep.
No, I have heard from listeners that they feel like that one was really put on a tee for old Ski. I'm just saying.
I don't believe that you heard from listeners.
I have heard from listeners.
I think you are saying that and saying that listeners told you that.
Well,
I mean, was it the Twitter handle Pat Roizen that was saying it?
No. This was just not even people on Twitter. They were like, really? They're asking him what's Stanford's mascot? What is their colors? And I'm getting like,
I didn't ask.
Questions from like 1960s quarterbacks.
Do you get that from at Jeromny backup?
No,
Twitter.
No. I'm just saying.
At Jeromny 2.
People think that one was a little biased to keep the race a little close.
Hey, you like how you work in little biased?
Bias.
There you go. Nice work. Yeah. At Rajomny. Nice. all right, first question. Let's go to Ski because he's coming off the dub. When LeBron James said bye to Cleveland to go to Miami, Dan Gilbert said a few choice things he eventually took back when LeBron returned. In an open letter, he said three main words to describe LeBron after he left. Give me one of them.
Traitor?
That is not one of them. King, I'm not going to give you the options. You got to give me one. Because I would have had to come up with nine different options. Yeah. Like, I'm not doing that.
So give. What am I looking for?
So one of the three main words that Dan Gilbert called LeBron when he left Cleveland to go to Miami. In the open letter.
Quitter.
Nope. He said narcissistic, cowardly, and heartless.
Oh, cowardice is what I really wanted to say. Wouldn't have counted, but that's where I was going.
I might have given you that one.
Okay.
I think Gilbert really wanted to say something else in there too that would have got him canceled. That was
Is this how you'd raise your kids?
Back it up. Back it up.
Fucking LeBron went back after that. Anyway, all right. So back to Ski.
King. King's up.
No, King just. Oh, yeah, it is. Okay. Yeah. You're right. Fair enough. King, Hollywood's most famous bye came in the movie Gone with the Wind. When the main dude says, frankly, my dear, I just don't give a damn. Why is that line significant in movie history? Think about it. So it was like the 30s. Frankly, my dear, I just don't give a damn. Why was it significant?
He said, damn? Is it a curse word?
Literally the answer, yes. Good job. Okay. You want me to fucking spell it out for you, you crybaby? Jesus. God. Yes, it was the first time. It's the first time damn was ever said in a movie.
There Listen, I was a little tired when I saw that movie.
All right, Ski. How about we do some bisexual trivia?
Ooh, spicy.
All right. This famous bisexual person was parodied by Flight of the Conchords on their TV show. Who is it?
Anne Heche?
Anne Heche, no. Your options, King. Freddie Mercury, David Bowie, Little Richard.
I'll say Little Richard just because that's a funny visual.
That is incorrect. It is David Bowie. They did the song Bowie's in Space. Bowie's in Space. I was thinking
they did Tutti Frutti. Yeah.
all right, so this goes to King now. This punk lead singer, famous for being the leader of one of the biggest bands in the last 30 years, period. Started in the Bay Area, has performed at the Woodstock reboot. Band has won 4 Grammys, including 2 for Best Rock Album. Who is it? Lead singer of the band.
Billy Joe Armstrong.
That is correct. Nice work.
No!
Nice work.
Welcome to paradise.
You better know Green Day trivia. Both of you are getting canceled if you don't know Green Day answers.
Wake me up when September comes or ends. I don't know. I forget.
I mean, they're just.
I think it's
poor, they're poor man's Blink 182.
There you go. Mark Hoppus was one of the options too, by the way. All right.
Hey, he just got cleared of cancer, by the way. Yeah. Shout out to Mark Hoppus.
Yeah, hell yeah. Absolutely. All right. Now here's a stretch. some things invented by people. Right, Ski. This person invented too many things to count. Among them, the urinary catheter. He invented swim fins, the odometer, and bifocals. Who is it?
I'm just going to say Thomas Edison.
That is incorrect. Your options, King. Thomas Edison, Leonardo da Vinci, Ben Franklin.
Oh my God. What's funny is those first two is who I was going to say, and I don't trust it, but I'll still. What are you inventing? Give me two of them. Bifocals and what?
Bifocals and swim fins.
Leonardo da Vinci. I don't fucking know.
You think Da Vinci invented bifocals?
Ben Franklin.
No, you're wrong, first of all. How do you guys not know that Ben Franklin invented bifocals? Honestly.
I know he wore glasses, and he's like the Sixers' secondary mascot. That's all I know about this guy. What do you want from us?
He's like a secondary mascot of the Nationals, too, right?
I would have loved for Da Vinci to invented swim fins.
Isn't that great? No.
I think there's a yearly Da Vinci Fest in Corvallis, yeah. By the way.
Is there?
All right, running out of time here. This goes to Ski, right?
King.
Yeah.
King.
So it goes to King?
Yeah.
Okay, so Tim Berners-Lee invented arguably the most significant thing to grace mankind in the last 100 years. 1989 created something we use every day for work, school, fun, lots more. Currently a fellow at Oxford, professor at MIT. What did he invent? We use it every day, most of the day.
Keyboard.
Using it right now.
A microphone.
Incorrect. Ski, your options. Computers, handheld phones, or the internet?
The internet.
He invented the internet.
Bullshit, that was Al Gore.
That was 100% Al Gore.
Fake news.
100% Al Gore.
Fake news. All right. So this goes to Ski now. Ski with a chance to tie, and we're running out of time, so we're definitely not going to finish this. places you can buy things. This was the go-to place to buy music in the 90s. Literally everybody used the service. 8 albums for a penny. What was it called?
Napster.
Incorrect.
Columbia Music House.
Columbia House. King wins.